Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who are you? What is your identity? Human beings in the sinful world want to find their identity in a whole host of movements and causes. Sometimes people find their identity in the activities that they do, their extracurricular activities, their sports, their music, in the family to which they belong, the last name they have, where their family has been, what their family has done. And sometimes human beings want to choose their own identity, make themselves by the things that they wear, by the people that they are around. They want to create their own identity. And sometimes even to change the identity that God has given them. But what is your real identity? Who are you? And from where do you get your identity? How do you answer the question, who are you? John the Baptist in our gospel reading for today is asked that very question. He is approached by religious leaders and asked, who are you? He's asked, in other words, for his identity. And in responding to them, John the Baptist doesn't make up his own identity based on his own goals, his own programs. He doesn't make up his own identity based on what is happening, all the people that are coming to him. He doesn't say, I'm a visionary. I am a mover and a shaker. I'm the founder of a new movement. No, in fact, John's response isn't even called a self-identification. He's not making up his own identity, choosing it for himself based on the perceived success that he has and all the people coming to him. No, instead we hear that when John the Baptist responds to them, he doesn't give a self-identification. Instead, it says that in the text, it says that he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. That word confessed is pretty important there. It's repeated twice there to describe what John the Baptist is doing. He is confessing. The word confess means literally to say the same thing. John isn't making up his own identity, creating his own movement. He is saying the same thing as someone else about who he is. He is receiving an identity from somewhere else, and he is confessing it. He is merely restating it, saying the same thing again that has already been said to him about who he is and what his identity is. So, what is this identity that John has? And from where does it come from? John's identity comes from God. He is given an identity by God, and he is saying the same thing that God says about who he is. That's his identity. It's a God-given identity, and he is confessing it. He is saying the same thing that God says about who he is. And so in response to a number of questions, he confesses that he is not the Christ, he is not Elijah, he's not the prophet, but he is instead fulfilling a prophecy written hundreds of years before by the prophet Isaiah that someone would become crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. God had appointed him for this, to fulfill this prophecy, to do this, and had appointed him for this hundreds of years before, to make straight the way of the Lord by crying this in the wilderness. In other words, John confesses that he is not the Lord, but he has come to prepare the way for the Lord. He doesn't get to choose his own identity, his own role, his own plan, his own goals, to elevate himself, but rather he is there to do a particular thing. And he confesses, says the same thing that God says about who he is and what he is to do. He confesses his God-given identity. So this is what it means to confess, to say the same thing. And to confess what God has said is to say the same thing that God says to you about who you are and what He's done and how we are to live now in this world in light of those facts. But you may notice that we use this word confess in a number of ways here in our service. We use the word confess not only to confess our identity like John, but we can also use the word confess to confess our sins, as we did this morning. We confess something, admit that we are wrong. And then we also speak of sometimes confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed or Athanasian Creed or Nicene Creed. And then we also refer to the statements of teaching, of doctrine that our church has and to which our congregation subscribes and our church body subscribes, and that define what Lutherans believe in the Lutheran confessions as confessions. They are making a confession, and so are we in subscribing to them. All of these, for all of these things, we use the word confess. And we've already said that this means to say the same thing. So how in the world are we saying the same thing in each of those areas? Well, in each case, we are saying the same thing that God says. And we're saying that same thing back to God. In the confession of sins, for example, when God in His Word says to you and to me that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that no one is righteous, no, not one, then we confess back to God what He says about us. We confess that we are poor, miserable sinners. And when He points out specific sins to us through His Word, through the Ten Commandments, we admit those, we acknowledge those, we confess them. And part of what John the Baptist, in fact, was doing in the wilderness was speaking this Word of God. When he called, when he said, "Make straight the way of the Lord," he was calling people to acknowledge their sin, where they had turned against God, where they had lived contrary to God's Word. And he calls them to acknowledge it, to be sorry for it, and to believe in the one coming after him. That is in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And so here we too do that. Just as those people who came to John and confessed their sin and were baptized, we also confess. We say back to God what he's already pointed out to us through his law, that we're sinners. But we also confess then and believe what he says to us when he says that Jesus has paid the price for those sins. And we make this confession when we say amen to the absolution. Amen when God says that your sins are forgiven, all those sins that you have confessed, and in fact, all of the sins. When you say, "I am a sinner, I have sinned against God," and you are given the absolution, the forgiveness of all your sins, for the sake of Jesus, and you say amen, you are saying back to God, you are confessing back to God what he has said to you, that Jesus has paid for your sins on the cross, and he now forgives them. But we also confess when we say the creeds. In the creeds, we are stating what God has done and who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are then saying the same thing back to God that he has said to us. We are saying that he is God the Father, our Creator, that he is God the Son, our Redeemer, who has paid the price for our sins on the cross. And we're saying that he is Holy Spirit, that he is the Holy Spirit, who works faith in us, who brings us into his body, the church, and sustains our faith there in his body. We are confessing in all of these areas. And also in our Lutheran confessions, when we state what the Word of God says and really restate what the Word of God says in the face of controversies that have arisen in the history of the Christian church, we say, here is what God says. We are saying back to God what he has already said to us. We confess in all of these places what God says. We're not making up our own thing. We're not making up our own truth because we can't. God has handed to us His Word, has spoken to us in His Word, and we, as His creatures, confess, we speak back to Him what He has said to us. And in saying that, we are declaring, like John did, our identity. John was asked for his identity, and he responds with a confession, saying what God has said about him, declaring his God-given identity. And so we too are declaring our God-given identity when we make these confessions, both in the confession of sins, in the creed, and in our Lutheran confessions. We are confessing back to God what He has already said to us, not only about who He is, but then also about who we are. We're saying we're sinners. We're saying that we were created by God, though, created to bear His image, but yet corrupted by sin. Created either male or female. Created to be in relationship with Him, but yet having fallen from that. But then we confess that our Lord Jesus Christ has come for us individually to be our Lord. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. We don't just say that He is a Lord. We don't just acknowledge historical facts about Him, but we say something about our identity, that we are His children. And how do we know we are? Because we also confess in the Nicene Creed that there is one baptism for the remission of sins, that our Lord has washed us of sin, and He has made us His children, adopted us into His family, buried us, and raised us. There He has claimed us as His own. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. For us now, as Scripture says, to live is Christ. Our life is now bound up with Jesus. We belong to Him. Our identity is not as people who identify as primarily by the things we do at work, by our activities outside of the home, by our family, our biological family, that is. And then religion is just a side thing that we do. But rather, anyone who is baptized into Christ and is living as His child, their primary identity is, I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I belong to Jesus. I am being conformed to the image of Christ. And everything I do should be seen in that light. What I do in the world, I see, in that, I see that I am part of the family of God and I bear the name of God upon me, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that family, the family of God, matters even more than my biological family. The fact that I am part of this family says I represent my Lord. I bear His name before the world. And I confess to the world, just as John the Baptist confessed and said the same thing that God said about him. We say the same thing that God says about us to the world. We say, I am baptized into Christ. I belong to Him. I'm a child of God. I bear His name. I belong to this family. And that's what matters above all, is that I have that identity. We confess to the world, this identity. And we receive from God then what He says about us. And yes, we fail to live in that identity. And for that, we again confess our sins and we receive our Lord's forgiveness. We receive forgiveness from the One who came down to this earth and took on our human flesh. Took on this human flesh that we have, but without sin, so that He could go, He could live a perfect life, as a man, be the human being that we were meant to be, live the life that we were meant to live, the identity that we should have, and live that perfectly, and then go to the cross and suffer as one who has not lived in that identity, who has not confessed, but who in fact was the perfect Lamb of God, who did perfectly confess and say back to God what he said, and lived out the life that God called him to live, but went to the cross to suffer for all the times that we have not lived as God's children, so that he could pay for our sins, and he could wash us and make us new creatures in Christ, no longer children of wrath, but children of God. Give us this identity and make us his own, so that we may live with him and look forward to the day that he comes again in glory, and we see this identity that we are meant to bear, the image of God in all its holiness and righteousness. We may see that identity in all its fullness. And in the meantime, we look forward to it, and we pray that God would again and again would continue to conform us to the image of Christ through his word and sacrament, through his means of grace. Who are you? The world may have many ways of answering that question, but we who bear the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have been washed of our sins, who have been adopted into his family, we have an identity. And we don't have to go searching for one. We have an identity that God has spoken to us, and we confess back to him. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.